Good morning. Good morning. good to see you guys. Good to be here. And I believe I have a good word today. There is something when you write a sermon or whatever you call it, and then there is sometimes you like, and maybe because I had a lot of time, because everybody was gone yesterday and I was just home alone the whole day, and I just had, you know, more than usual time just to work on it. So the topic that I called it New Life. New Life. What I'm going to be talking is about like the life that we receive, or at least what we're supposed to have, how it's supposed to look. We're gonna look, and we'll see what happened to the disciples, what happened to the early church. We're gonna look at them, and I believe this is the model for us to look at and go by, because a lot of times, you know, we're trying to bend the truth to ourselves, and we're trying to create like what we think needs to be done or how it needs to be. But I want us today to take a look at the model that, like, what happened with them. And I hope none of you will get offended. I hope that none of you will get disappointed. And I hope that none of you you still all come next time. Or you might be looking for a new church, maybe, I don't know. Because you might see something that will speak to you, but speak to you not in a way, oh, you know, like it was a good message, it spoke to me. But you know, the truth supposed to challenge you, it's supposed to change you. And that's why for us it's easier to us to bend the truth towards ourselves, because we don't want to change. So we kind of modify Jesus, we modify the church, we modify kind of like what we think it should be. Kind of modifying to this, so it's not like kind of goes together with the world, with the culture, and I think, because for me, and a lot of times, you know, I have this feeling, you know, it's like, maybe, I mean, I'm not comparing myself like to Ezekiel, but I kind of see him, you know. Remember when God took him and showed him the valley of dry bones? And he's telling him, can these bones live? So basically Ezekiel standing in like dead field of human bones. And he's saying like, God, basically he's saying no. He says, only you know. I know they can't live. It's all dead bones. But remember what God said. Speak, preach, tell, teach them. So sometimes I think, you know, when we look at truth, we think like, oh, you know, oh, it's just there. But, and sometimes that's what I think. Sometimes it feels like you're standing in this valley of dry bones that, like, they don't wanna change. They don't wanna, you know, they don't wanna know the truth. We wanna hear something that just kind of, we feel good about it. We feel good about ourselves. We don't want to hear the gospel. We don't want to hear sacrifice. We don't want to hear, you know, generosity. We don't want to hear those words. We want to hear, you know, what's in it for me. I came here. What's in it for me? Where can I go and take with me? But, you know, we are all born when we come here to leave everything here. To leave, first of all, your heart, your worship. This is what this is number one thing why we even like come here. What are we even doing here? To worship him. Just to bring ourselves and just tell him, God, here I am. Change me. I need you. But I hope, you know, this won't be, you know, because sometimes it might seem like, oh, there is like no hope, like, why to teach something that you see that it's not gonna work in this world? It's not gonna work. But and you can, I can, or we can get depressed, we can get, you know, discouraged and be like, oh, whatever, we're just gonna, how it goes, how it is what it is. But I hope that this would be actually like a driving force, you know, like, remember how God told Ezekiel, speak, prophesy. But it's the same word, prophesy and preach. It's the same. That's what they've been doing. They've been preaching. He says, speak. And then the Spirit of God would start taking those words and breaking them and, like, you know, putting them inside all the people. And we know the story. Yeah, went along. A lot of years went by. But the bones came up, you know. Israel raised up. They became a nation. So whatever he was speaking, he didn't see it in his time. But time went on and it happened. So I think that's what happens with the word of God. That's why it's important for us to accept it when you hear it. Because a lot of times, you know, we as humans, we don't want to change. And this is what I've been noticing, and I'm just gonna speak from like my experience. It's like maybe I'm even might be talking about some of you. I kind of like, I don't know, but I've noticed that a lot of people they come, they accept Jesus, and they're like honest people. They it's not like they didn't mean it, you know. They come, they go to church, but you see that. It like kind of their progress or something like stopped at some point. They do you know the and we're gonna read about a little bit the word saved. It's in a way the same word as like conversion, converted. That's why they were converting people, you know, into Christianity. So conversion is something that doesn't happen. That's why you see, you know, evangelists, they go do these big, huge crusades and they say, oh, today like 10,000 people accepted Jesus. 20,000 people accepted Jesus. And it's good. But you know, it's just the beginning. Then you have to get converted. You know what conversion is? It's like you take the money or you take the weight and you convert it into something else. It's like, it's kind of like same value, but it's different in nature. So in Christianity, this is supposed to happen. Otherwise, we as Christians, we're supposed to be on fire for the things of God. We're supposed to be, you know, our life should be different. It should be completely different. So your whole life need to be converted. And I know it's not gonna happen like overnight, you know, especially in our culture. We want everything overnight, right? We don't want like, well, okay, God, here I am, do it. Do it today. Okay, I'm ready, do it. And then you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, he didn't do it. But it takes, you know, it's going to take some time. It's not going to, because even our fallen nature, our sinful nature, it resists, you know. That's why it's hard, you know. That's why a lot of people give up. A lot of people stop because they encountering this resistance, this fight, and they give up. Not even understanding what's happening. So, new life. What happens? How do you guys like? Just think about it. How do you imagine this new life when you getting born again? And we all know it's a new life. How do you imagine it? What do you think about? How's new life looks to you? I mean, just think about it. You don't need to say it. Just kind of, I want you to start thinking. What does it look like? Your life before you accepted Jesus, you know, accepted his forgiveness, you did all these things. How different it is. Is it just because you started going to church and that's it? Just think about it. What is it, new life? What happened? And I'm going to take you guys and I'm going to show you, like I said, the model, how the church started. And and it's very important for us to have that foundation. Otherwise, we can get lost in this church stuff. We can get so used to, we can start, oh, I like this, I don't like that. Oh, and then nothing's going to like happen. Nothing's going to go anywhere. We're just going to be, you know, kind of in each other's throats and just kind of just stuck, which kind of we've been stuck for a long time. I agree. Nobody said amen. I say amen. I'll stay and say amen, brother. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read from Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to read this passage and then we're just going to go. I don't know, this whole Pentecost thing kind of got me. And I know Pentecost is like in a couple of weeks, but I started early, before everybody else. It felt like Pentecost to me, I don't know. But this is how it started, guys. With the filling of the Holy Spirit, this is when you get new life. Do you guys understand? Holy Spirit coming in you. The word even spirit, it's like, it's wind, it's ruach, it's in Greek, it's pneuma, like, you know, the like power that driven like by air. So all these, so it represents, Holy Spirit represents energy, you know, it presents life. So we should kind of have that kind of, okay, if Holy Spirit is life, and he is in me, then why my life is like dead, you know? Why am I walking with my head down? Why am I like complaining? Why am I confused? Why, if Holy Spirit, the power is in me? Hello? That's with this question started my walk towards God. When I heard one guy told me, if you are a son of God, why your life is like this? That woke me up. When my life was a mess, and he from the TV spoke to me, I still know how he looks like. This bold Baptist guy. He spoke to me through the TV and said, if you are son of God, why your life is like this? And that woke me up. So that's how I think we should be honest. You know, we should not play these, you know, religious games. Oh, you know, this is just happens. No, if we look at the model, you'll see, guys, you'll see that something needs to change, and it's gonna only change by the Holy Spirit. You can't change it on your own. You can't on our own. We only can become like a hindrance. We can block it. This is what we really good at on our own. So Acts chapter 2 from verse 41. So those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So they accepted Peter's message. They were baptized. So they joined this big family of believers. They became, the baptism was the sign that I am done with this old life. Hello, right now everybody, remember your baptism. Remember it. Remember what you said, I'm done with this old life. This is it. This is it, dead in the water. And so they, about 3,000. Were added to the number that day. Thank you for the cold water. They, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching I want you guys to pay attention to, there is like four points that I'm going to be pointing out. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, but let me just finish in reading it. Fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord Jesus added to their number daily those who were being saved, or in other translation, who were being converted. Jesus was adding them to that group, to the church, to those people. Jesus was adding those people. So, look what happened after they experienced the love of God through by receiving the Holy Spirit. I want you guys to notice what happened with their lifestyle. Something changed radically. Something changed completely. Like, it was in our mind, we think that church is like an interruption to my lifestyle. This is just like, I'm taking a break from all this, business, of all this stuff going on. And thank God that there is a day where I can take a break from all that. And I am with you on that all completely. And what I'm telling you guys, I'm not just telling you, I'm telling it to myself. I don't have it, what I'm talking about. I want it. But I see the truth, and I know that I need to change. We need to change to it, not the other way around. So for us, it's usually this, what we do, this is like an interruption. But you know that for them, that life was an interruption to what God was doing. It was something. What they did, coming together, fellowship, praying every day. Do you know that you can't manufacture it? You can't just make it. I can't tell you, okay, guys, from today we're meeting here every day. This is going to be, ridiculous. I'll be so dumb and to do those kind of things. Now we're going to go. What does the scripture say? Okay, every day they've been meeting. So now every day, everybody come. And if in that church there is this culture of power and control, and that the person, if he is an authority, guess what? You will come every day. You will be coming, and you will be, because you're going to be afraid to say no. You're going to be, it's like for you, going to be like saying no to God. You'll be like always looking behind your shoulders if you miss a day. This is what happens a lot of times in like religious churches. But do you know why? Just think about what was driving these people to be together every day. Love. There is no other way they were doing this. No other way. Love for God and love for each other. They couldn't get enough of each other. They wanted to be with each other every day. For them, like I said, the work and all that stuff was like, man, I have to go to work. I can't wait till I meet again today with my brothers and sisters. This is what was happening. This is the sign of life, guys. This is the sign of life. When you come to church, I know we can't do it every day. But even when we can, if I come here, if we all come here just for other reasons, we're missing the point. We are not, this is not Holy Spirit. This is not God drawing you. You know, this is not Him. If this is what if I'm coming here because, oh, it's my turn. All these things that I'm going to tell to you, this was their, like, the only way I see it, it can only be done, like, truly, only when love was so much love. It was, and you guys should confirm it by, let's say, if you go or if you invite some people over for dinner, right? I hope you do that. We might, you know, I want to think, I'm going to, you know, that we do these prayer things for that person. I want us to step it up a notch. Now the person that you're praying for, you actually need to, hey, come on over for dinner. I want to know more about you. Let's pray together. Let's, you know, talk about Jesus together. But that's like, I'm sowing seeds. I want to see this, guys. You know, this is for me the model. This is what I'm looking at. This is how I see church. I don't see it any other way. I'm sorry for all this mega, shmega, you know. It's not. Sorry. Amen. So this is what happens. Look, like I said, this is how you can see that the life is here. I didn't finish my example. It's like, you know, when you invite people over and, you know, sometimes you sit with them and time flies by so fast. And you don't want this to end. No, I hope you've been around those people that actually you love them and they love you. You know, it's like, it's this, you know, you don't talk about it, but everybody feels it. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows because, man, it's so late and I still have to drive, you know, 2 hours. So, man, I wish, you know, we lived closer. I wish that we could be, you know, kind of could have these moments more. Right? You know those moments. Or sometimes some people come and you like, okay, how is that saying? I'm going to say something in Russian, but it's, remember this joke, and then somebody saying, а вы что, даже чай не попьете? So you're not even going to drink some tea, so you're like so in a hurry for them to leave. But I know, you know, we're Christians. Even if your enemy comes to your house, you're going to be like, oh, this is Jesus. I'm going to kill you while you sleep. So, this is the sign of life, guys, love. And you remember, guys. And like I said, I don't need to spend too much time on this. All of us know that feeling. All of us had that experience when you were just coming straight from work and you just barely made it to the shower and you've been running, you know, packing kids in your car, just like how they were hungry going to the cell group to pray, to worship God. Who remembers that? You know, what was it? What was driving you? Love. Yeah. Love to be with those people, to be around, to worship God together. Your faces were glowing when the music was like just a playlist where they had no band. The music, it was like your face was glowing. That's a sign of life. That's the sign of the Spirit of God in you. When the worship starts, you glow. That's how people, if they walk in, they walk in here, and they, if they come and they see worship going on, and you know what? If half of us is just half asleep, you know, your face is not glowing because you're not worshiping. How can it not glow when you stand in the presence of the Holy One? You know, how? The reflection, it should be on your face. It should be expressing the love, the praise. This is what they've been doing. They've been coming, praising God, worshiping God. Their faces were glowing. You want to see new people? You want to see people being getting saved, converted? You want to see the power of God here in this place? Start worshiping and praising God like never before. And not just here. In your home, in your car. And I mean praising Him. Telling for who He is. Because praising is not just, I praise you. No. You know what praise is? It's like if my wife is made, you know, or if I say, oh, you're so beautiful. This is praise. I said it. I can think about it. Oh, you're so beautiful. I can think about it. But as soon as I said it, something happens, you know. It's like fulfills that the joy inside of you, or what that feeling that inside of you, it confirms, you know, like when she made a dinner and you say, whoa, this soup is so good. You're praising. This is what you pray. This is praise, you know. This is what we come to praise. We say, we're not just God, I praise you. No, tell Him who He is. Tell Him what He is to you, what He has done, how good He is in your life. A lot of time we just come with we're empty. Ask Holy Spirit to fill you, change you, give you a new life. Because this is what happened after Pentecost when they got filled with the Spirit of God. It brought life, guys. The sign of the Spirit, Holy Spirit in you. It's not speaking in tongues. Even though that is a sign, like visual, you know, for people. The sign, it's life. The Spirit, it's life. The sign is life in you. Life in your house. Life everywhere. You know how many times I come and I don't have this life. And I come to Him and say, God, I don't know, forgive me. Maybe I don't even know why I don't have the life. I feel dead. I feel like I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to prayer. This is a sign that you know where you need to pray. You say, God, give me your Spirit. I am empty. That's why we, with the Spirit, we always need, when we come, we remember, we talked about it not too long ago, be filled with His Spirit. How? By speaking, praying, worshiping, praising, singing songs. We need that. If you want see life, and we all need that, not just one person, not just two persons. It's all love, guys. And you know what is, what do you guys think the opposite of love is? Well, that's a reaction. That's kind of, you know what's the opposite of love is? It's indifference. It's like you don't care. It's like your wife made the best dinner for you. She is the most beautiful person in the world, and you don't care. You don't even, you can't even like tell it to her. You just, she's my wife. She's supposed to do that. This is indifference. You know? It's like your kid. If you see your kid doing something so wrong, and you don't do nothing, or don't do anything. You're just indifferent. That's the opposite of love. When you don't care, you'll be like, whatever. No, but love, if you see your son, if you see your daughter doing something that you know it's wrong, you know it's bad, The love will provoke even anger in you. You will come and you will say no. You're going to come and say like, and that's the only way how he or she's going to find out. That's what I'm saying. Love, the opposite is indifference. That's why we, a lot of times, even towards God, we're like, you know, these Christians, that just like, we think, we don't even think about the will of God. We think like everything is just like somehow somebody's going to preach. Somebody's going to be saving the world. Somebody's going to be preaching to the lost people. Someone else, but I'm just here. I don't even know. You know, I'm just struggling here. You're not even a Christian. Because these are the Christians that I'm talking to you about. They were driven by love. Some of us, you know, we're like those people that's sitting on the fence. We're like committed, but at the same time, we're not committed. We're afraid to make a decision. We're like, yes, or maybe no. And we're just sitting on this fence. This is what I mean, indifferent. This is no love. This is no love. This is like you, like, I don't even know what I want to do. Indifference, like, you know, no particular interest. I'm not concerned. It's neither good nor bad. Jesus calls it lukewarm in the Bible. He calls it lukewarm. It's like, you, nothing. You, I can't. You don't care about anything. You come here. You come, you don't care. You just think you need to be. So what I read, guys, without experiencing the love of God, this is all impossible. Like I said, I want it. I don't have it. I'm trying, but I know this is the only way. It's like for His Spirit to fill me more, change me more, because there is still so much stuff that just needs to be taken out. So I just want to read in verse number 46 again. All were at one at heart. See, all they were one at heart. That's love. As they went to the temple regularly every day, they had their meals in their homes. They ate with happiness and simple heart. I'm sure this doesn't get preached a lot. They just came together and ate. What's so spiritual about it? You know, eating together, it's like, I think it's one of the intimate things that you can... How would like just person, let's say, from different background, different family, different even culture, different even all, and you can sit and share from one big plate. This is probably like the most beautiful thing that we get. I don't know how people like, they go against it. They're like, oh, you know, we need to study the Bible. We need to do this. Yeah, we'll get to that. Because they did four things, not just one thing. So they were together. Look, not just coming together. They were together right here. We one like mission. We one. It's love. So, and who were these people? If you know the story, and I hope you do, you know that who joined out of these 3,000 people, you know that it were these people were different. Like there is a list of nationalities, cultures, differences, all different people. So these people, it was not like, you know, oh, we're just going to find a group of people that are like-minded. For example, if you know, let's kind of switch the topic a little bit. Let's say if we're all going to be Republicans. And we're only gonna, this is only for Republicans, you know, we're only gonna think like this. Of course, it's easy, you know, easy. We have something that we can agree on, disagree on, everything kind of, you know, comes to, I mean, we can find like a common ground on a lot of things. But these people, they were different. Different cultures, different like presidents, different. But they, after they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, they experienced the love of God. Something dramatically, that's why I've said they got converted. They changed, something changed in them completely. For them now, all this, how these nationalities, all these cultures, it was like these barriers. You know what? Holy Spirit came and broke all that. Broke all that. They didn't feel anything. He could sit here with, you know, all kinds of people, and they were one. This is what Holy Spirit does. This is what, how things supposed to be, guys. And nowadays, there is a lot of, if you look, if you walk around, you'll see churches, okay, these are just these. These guys, they only pray. They don't do it. They don't talk to each other. They don't love each other. They just come and pray. These guys, they only do fellowship. This is what they do. They don't preach. They don't pray. They don't worship. The only thing they do, they just fellowship. You go across the street, those guys do just this thing, you know. They just study the word, and that's it. The Bible is there, like, this is what we need to do. But they, what they did, these guys, like, they did all of these things. All of these things. That's why you, if you say, oh, I am not, you know, prayer kind of person. I'm just going to come on Sundays. I am for word, you know, I want to hear the word, I am only for preaching. That's not it. They were all together. If you say, oh, I'm just for fellowship, I like fellowship. Fellowship, when? This is why I'm here, just to fellowship. I only come when you have fellowships. I know you guys, this is my, just my soul is like in heaven, fellowship. I don't come to prayer. Not it. Absolutely not it. You can't do that according to the model. See? They all were together. Or if you just know, I'm just here for the word. Worship, I know they're going to be worshiping for like almost an hour. I'm just going to come in late. Not it. Do you see what I mean? All together. They were all together. If we're studying the Bible, we're studying the Bible. If we're fellowshiping, we're fellowshipping. If we're praying, we're praying. You know? We're doing it all together. I'm not picking what I like or what you like. Then this is, once we not have that mindset, if we don't see it, then, like I said, we're going to be in each other's throats because somebody's going to be, I want fellowship. The other one, no, we need more prayer. The third one, no, we need more study. No, we need this. But it all, like I said, it all, they were all together. And that's only can be why when we experience. And why I say experience, because the love of God, we all know about it. We all know, our heads are full about love of God. We know how much He loves us. We know that Jesus loves us. He saved us. We know that. But I want us to ask, because the only by receiving the Holy Spirit, that's when everything breaks you. That's why sometimes maybe during prayers or worships or just even some people during service, they experience, they don't even know, why am I crying? What's going on with me? What? That's the love of God, you know, you experiencing it. And you'll see how everything starts changing, how everything, you know, after that you notice that you start looking at people differently. After you experienced the love of God, you want to hug the whole world. And tell me, I know some testimonies when people got experienced baptism of the Holy Spirit, when they got up of those knees, when they the first thing, what was in your heart? Crazy love. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what transforms everything. Not just knowledge, not just that. So what they did, they studied. It's important, guys, for you to study the Word, to learn the truth, not just here, in your homes, everywhere where you at. They were devoted in learning the truth. Because like I said, only the truth makes real change, guys. Real change. I've seen people that they were in church for some time. They like crazy in worship. They like, but for some reason, their heart is not changing. They're still bitter. They still, struggling with this, or they still do this because the heart, never got to that condition where it gets converted. And that happens by the truth. When you know the truth, when you're reading the Word, when you're eating it, when you're eating these scrolls, you're eating it, and you'll see it changed my life, and it keeps changing it. And for any one of you, if you feel stuck, I don't even need to be a prophet. I'll tell you, that means your reading Bible thing on zero. You only read what like this. Verse of the day for you, it's too much. My mind is blowing. That might be an answer for somebody who's why am I stuck? Because you're not letting the truth to come and transform you and change you from inside. So they devoted, it's like the real devotion. Again, devotion, again, it's based on love, right? Real devotion is based on love. Real. It's not from this day, I'm going to do this. No, love, that's what I'm saying. When you come, when you worship God, when you praise Him, when you ask Him, fill me, and He touches you with your love, that's the real response. Then nobody needs to tell you. You wake up in the morning and you hear Holy Spirit telling you a phrase, and you're like, oh, wait, what is it? It sounds familiar, it sounds... It's like, I know from the Bible, I don't even know where is it. And you take your phone and you Google it. Right now we have Google it, what you hear, and it will give you even where to go. And you go, you open up the Bible and you start reading it. And then, whoa, you thought about it was about this, but it takes you somewhere, someplace else. It's a beautiful thing, guys. It's a beautiful, Holy Spirit can take you on these journeys through the Bible. It's you'll forget about work. I wish. No, you're not. So the point, devoted, to fellowship. What happens at fellowship? We kind of took about the word. What happens at fellowship? Why fellowship is important? Why? Why do we, why they fell? Why the result of the love of God, result of the Spirit was their love for fellowship with one another? Because I think at fellowship, what's supposed to happen when we open up to each other? Remember how even Jesus confessed your sins to one another to be healed, to be delivered, to help. This is what the platform of fellowship is for, This is where it's not just about eating, It's not. Because fellowship, the word fellowship is participation. So I become participant, We start participating on each other's lives. We start becoming we you know what I mean? I'm asking, how are you? You know, why you this week you seemed, upset. Why? What's going on? What's on your heart? Can I pray for you? Can we talk about it? And you open up and say, hey, I don't know. And you start talking about it. And then maybe you'll all of a sudden you remember this conflict that you had with your wife, and you got mad. You like, maybe you didn't say it, but inside yourself you just. Wanted to throw her out, out of the window. No, I'm kind of, being too dramatic, of course. No. And then you realize, all of a sudden, you remember that moment. And what you do? I mean, this is what gotta happen at fellowship: openness, where people can open, when you can say, you know what? I don't know, I'm struggling financially. I don't know what's going on. I'm trying my best. I have, but every time I'm short, every time I'm stressing, it's stressing me out. It's like, and then of course I don't want to pray. Of course I don't want to worship, because this is the only thing that is on my head. How am I going to cover the bills? And my wife may be looking down on me, but thinking maybe, I mean, she's not. It's you thinking about yourself like that. I'm sure she's trying to help you, and she, praying for you. But I'm just saying, that's what happens at fellowship. This is what it's for. It's not for just eating, but when we eat, we have time, we can, it's something happens, something opens up, you become free, you're enjoying the food, and all of a sudden, the conversations start like just random conversation. But you realize that that's Holy Spirit. Because remember how Paul was ending all his letters? And the fellowship of the Spirit be among you. Fellowship. Participation. So Holy Spirit is right now participating, fellowshipping with us right now. While I speak, while I'm talking, he is participating. He's talking to, touching your hearts, touching my heart, uniting us, healing us, delivering us. We just, these things are there. So they did everything together. They prayed together. They played together. Can add to that life, it was real family. Some of us, you're already waiting right now. You already starting your car because you already want to run out, and I don't know why. Maybe I'm so bad at preaching, maybe I don't know. I'm sorry. No, I'm just kind of again dramatizing it a lot. I'm sure none of you like that. But I'm saying, like, a lot of times, we're so in a rush. And then why are you not in my life? Why I feel like alone? Why? I just told you why. You're the first one out of the parking lot. That's why. These things, they pray together. They fellowship together. They do things together. Try not to stay for fellowship today. Man, Holy Spirit is going to get you. I'm joking. Be free. That's another thing, freedom. But my job is to tell the truth. For you, take it or leave it, it's up to you. I'm still going to love you as much as I loved you if you, yes or no. So at fellowship, we confess our sins to each other. We talk about our struggles, weaknesses, sharing testimonies of what you've been reading today. What you're sharing, it just opens up different. So the breaking of bread is the Eucharist or communion. They did it every day. They every day they would remember the Lord's suffering. They would break like the, and that's what I think, that that's where the love is, guys, in Jesus. And that's why every time they would break the bread, they would remember about his sacrifice, about his love, about this. This would, you know, like renew or refresh their this experience. It would just, every time, you know, they would think about Jesus, every time they'll start praising him and thanking him for his broken body, that now I can be healed. I don't need to be broken. He was broken. So that's what they did. They did. And then we read, like, they started, like, you know, they did it like in large gatherings and in homes. Then another thing, what we can call, like, they started like selling stuff. You know, they were so generous to each other. They were so like caught up with this that they started, you know, because they saw a need in one of their brothers or sister. And they were all, and I'm not saying, this is not, you know, some people take it and like trying to promote communism and say like, oh, you should not have private property. You should sell everything and just, you know, and then give it all to me and I'll be, you know, the party, communist party that's going to be spreading equally. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about generosity, that they were like so, because why they did it, to help others, you know? Because they saw a need. And if I see a need, if I'm talking to you and I see that they would like sell something, or they would create some kind of, you know, money they will come up with so they can bless this family or they can help. You know, this was another kind of sign of life in church. When they saw a need, when they saw somebody getting sick. We recently did like this food thing. This is awesome. This is good. This is like, this, even like these little things, maybe it's nothing like, but this is like, I'm sure that person who experienced that, not the same anymore, not the same. Because that's love. You can't do it. Maybe some of you did it out of just, you know, that you want and you had to do it. But most of us, or most, I believe we're doing it out of love. Because that's one of us. That's one of our, you know, like people that like, we are like one because of Jesus. So, and they said there were none in need between them. So they were generous. It was driven by generosity. Giving was voluntary, not because we know that God loves cheerful givers, right? Cheerful. Not the one that, oh, I have to give because pastor just preached 15 minutes on offering. Now if I don't give, I feel like I am, you know, I'm like the sinner of the sinners. But it was cheerful, you know, when you give or when you buy food for somebody, when cheerful, that's what triggers God's heart. When you do it, because if you do it just, oh, again my turn, nothing's going to happen. You're just going to... And so look, why... And how we read, God and Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I don't know if you see this community, and if I would be a person of the street, and I would come, and I would see these glowing faces when they worship God, if I would see this love, I would feel it, I would see how they look at each other, how they, you know, you see those things. A lot of times we, you know, we're getting used to it because we've been for quite a while with some people. But people, when sometimes they come, they notice this thing. Because these things are contagious, you know, all these things are, the joy is contagious. All just, you know, all these, like when this is in the atmosphere, it's contagious, it grabs other person. Same as, you know, if there's going to be depression here, Bitterness is same way, guys. Contagious. It's like a disease. Even Paul was warning about it. Be careful that the root of bitterness, otherwise it's gonna sprout. And what it's gonna do? It's gonna start destroying people around you. It's like a disease. Contagious. Same thing, guys. Like joy, contagious. Same thing that's contagious. That's why maybe some people don't want to be around you, because you're contagious. They need to wear a mask or I don't know, or like an astronaut suit. Or they come and they, you know. One last thing I touched on it, what they did. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Praising God, guys, a lot, like I mentioned it before, some of us might come for fellowship, some of us might come for the word, some of us might come for prayer. But what they did, they were praising God. They were praising God. I think this is, if I would put it, at number one. This is, if we don't get this, we're not going to get the other. Praising God. Like I said, you praise somebody or something that is beautiful, something that is the object that is so much higher, so much better. So that's when you praise it. Because that's when we, like I said, we come and we praise Jesus. We praise God. We say these things. You are faithful. You've been good to me. You've been this. You are this. You are this. Even though maybe my whole week was kind of in depression, but I still know who He is. That's why praise opens up these invisible doors in us and we become filled with His Spirit. So say praise. That's how your face will start glow. Oh, how much we need this. I need this. To see this beauty. To see what we're praising. That's so, so powerful. This is why we get together to praise, like I said, this, the object of our appreciation. How can we, why do we praise? Why do we praise Him? I'm finishing up, just a couple more minutes. Or how do you experience this love that I'm talking about? How do you not just know it? How do you come to it? I think I'm just trying to kind of get it all together. I think when we come to God, when we come to His presence, when we come, a lot of people might know how, or like, how can I get this love? How can I experience it? And my question would be, did you in your life ever experienced your own forgiveness? Your own forgiveness. Because that's, I think that's the anchor, that's the root where it's all coming from. A lot of people, what I'm seeing, that's why for some people it's hard to forgive. Do you know why? Because maybe in their life they never experienced forgiveness towards themselves. They either, you know, sometimes we can be arrogant. Sometimes we can be like, oh, there is nothing I need to be forgiven. Or sometimes we like become so full of like bad thing that we think like there is, I can't even come to him because I'm so bad. But I want to like finish with this. If you experienced forgiveness, if you ever came to him and received this love, received, because some, and this is something that I maybe wasn't ready for, but I don't know why I'm saying about forgiveness, and I don't want to talk about unforgiveness, I want to talk about forgiveness. Because you know what forgiveness is? Do you know, sometimes we think that God is like this power, this like just something, oh, he's God, he forgives, of course, he's not, you know, we think of him like he's some kind of like energy or some kind of, you know, like thing that just doesn't have any feelings or doesn't have anything, you know, going on. We think about him a lot of times like that. Oh, he's God, he'll forgive. But let me explain to you how forgiveness looks like. Do you know that forgiveness to the person who forgives, that's why it's hard to forgive. It costs something. It's not, oh, I forgive you, and you walk away. That means you didn't forgive. You know, forgive, it means I'm taking a hit. I am losing something. I am losing right now something. You know, for example, if you, Quinn, come here. It's okay, don't worry. I want to give you an illustration of forgiveness. If you, right, and I am a rich man, for example. I'm not, but if. And I have an expensive car, the most expensive in the whole world. What is it, the most expensive car in the whole world?
Bugatti,
okay. Bugatti. And I have it. And then you're asking me, hey, can I take it for a spin? And I'm like, here you go. Which I should have not done, but I gave you. And you took it. And you didn't know that it's so powerful. You didn't know that this car is crazy. You thought it's a, what kind of car you have?
Volvo.
You thought it's like Volvo, you know. You thought it's just, you know, I'm going to press the gas and it's just going to, boom, 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 you know, and it's going to go. But this thing, you barely touched and it flew and you crashed. You survived. And you totaled it. And you know what? Then you come to me and I look at you and I'm telling you, you know what, Quinn? I forgive you. And you just walk away. Hallelujah. But you know what? Thank you. You can go. But you know what now? I have to fix the car. I have either buy a new car or spend a lot of money to fix the car. What I'm trying to show you, that for him, it didn't cost anything. But for me, it cost a lot to forgive. That's why forgiveness, for God, it costed so much to forgive you and me. It costed him the life of his only son to forgive you and me. So him, that's what I'm saying, that we think about, a lot of times we forget about it. That's why we don't pay attention to our lives, the evil we do, the things we do, the things we say, that all this, you know, that he has to forgive you. It's like he's taking out of his bank. He's taking out of, it's like he's going back, kind of speaking to the cross, taking up the blood of his son. It's again and again reminding him. It costs him. That's why we Christians, a lot of times we just, we take it easy. We're so getting used to all this. And that's why we never, sometimes in our life, for real, even came to him and said, Father, forgive me. Oh, we think like, everything is just somehow, Jesus did it, now we just like, we don't care, we just, we go to church, we're like, you know, we think like, God, is this some kind of energy out there, just, this is, what talking about love, experiencing love. That's forgiveness that it costs somebody. And that's what I know. If some of you are struggling to forgive somebody, I know why you're struggling. Because you have. You can't go back. I can't go back and take the keys back from him. I can't go back and I think, I should have not given him the car. I can't go back. It's done. The problem is here. Now, one of us who forgives, yes, you take the hit. You take it. You experience the pain. You experience the loss. You do it, but that's the power of forgiveness. Otherwise, it's not forgiveness. If this is, you were like, forgive me. Okay, I forgive you. You probably in the first place, you were not even offended probably in the first place. It's so easy because, like I said, real forgiveness, it costs. So I hope, guys, that we gonna push, go deeper into the love of God. And the way to the love of God, it's through experiencing our forgiveness, knowing that somebody paid a huge price. Now I'm looking at him. Now I can't look at you as a problem. I can't look at you because he took your pain. He took this, whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling, whatever, he took it. Now I can't judge you. I can't look at you as a problem. I can't, because Jesus, same Jesus that he took mine. You know, that's why it's for people. Once you understand that he took my... Remember, not too long ago, I was talking about this, how the king forgave the servant so much money. And remember what he did? He found his that he owed him $20, and he started, give me money. And then the king told him, were you not supposed to do the same as I did to you? This is what forgiveness looks like. Once I know what was forgiven to me, once I know how much has been forgiven for me, once I see it, once I see him personally taking his loss so I can be whole, that's why it's going to be for me so easy to forgive you, because we both same boat. We both need forgiveness. We're both. So I just want to end with this. And if we can we do the Holy Forever song right now? Just like 5 minutes. I want us, while we do the offering, let's spend 5-10 minutes in worship. Let's just do that, guys. And I don't know, if you heard Holy Spirit talking to you, maybe he was showing you something. Yes, all of you guys, all of you. Come on, let's go, quick. I want us to just spend like 5 minutes in worship and then we're done. And you can do offering at the same time while we do this. Thank you. let's get up. Let's get up. There is so much Holy Spirit here today that I am surprised. Come on. We're going to start worshiping Him. We're going to start praising Him for what He did for you and me, for us. Well, Mac's going to sing. Forgiveness, if you know that you never experienced forgiveness, this is the day. This is the day. This is the day. And I don't care if you want to come to the front, you want to do it in your seat. This is the day. I want you. I want you to see how much He forgave you. How much. All of it. All of it. All of it. Let's ask for Holy Spirit to fill us even more. He's been filling you up more than even you understand. Filling you up with this new life.
You will lift it high. Oh.
Uniting our hearts. You've been doing your work, what you've been trying to do all along. Forgive us that sometimes we just so caught up with ourselves. We so much look at us, what we want, that we just didn't know. We just didn't know better. Forgive us. And please, continue your work. Continue your work here in this place with us. We need it. We need. We need it. We want to know the real love. The love that you brought to us, that you showed to us in Jesus. How much He loved us. How to love one another. Teach us. Transform us. And for everything. What was already done and what will be done, we give all the glory to you, our Father. All the glory to you.